Welcome to special coverage for Illinois Public Radio of the 2018 Governor's Budget Address. Hi, I'm Nyla Boodoo. I'm here with State House reporter Brian Mackey live from the Capitol. Brian, the Capitol's quieting down a little bit now, right, as everyone's filing upstairs for the governor. We're expecting in just a few minutes he's going to be laying out his plans. Many are hoping it will be a balanced budget. Democrats are skeptical. It's Governor Rauner's first budget address since the end of a two-year bitter budget impasse. And, of course, it's an election year. Governor Rauner's facing a primary opponent. There are six Democrats who are hoping for a chance to be the Democratic nominee as well. Every seat in the House is up for election. 39 of the 59 Senate seats are also on the ballot. Brian, with all of that weighing over Governor Rauner, what do we expect him to say today?
Well, what we know is that he's going to propose a budget that, at least on paper, you know, says it's going to spend about the same amount as the budget that was passed over his veto last summer. We know that he's not going to be calling for repealing the tax increase right away, at least as part of this budget. But we also know that he's going to be proposing some things that could have a hard time getting through a Democratic majority House and Senate.
And when you talk to the stakeholders involved with this, whether they're from union groups or public education, we're hearing some protesters right now who are shouting, probably trying to get the governor as he's walking in. Everybody's, there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we have a budget this year, but that's the first out of the last 3 years that we had a budget. And during that time, a lot of human service agencies, state universities were laying off thousands of people across
Illinois.
And
we've got a backlog, Brian. So right now, as of this morning, we'll let you read the exact number, but what do we have? It's almost $9 billion.
Yeah, $8.912705946.06. $8.9 billion is the key number there. And that's what we owe.
And the key number of what we owe.
What we owe
so
to.
So that means things that we haven't paid yet, just to be clear.
Right. And beyond that, there are actually expenses that we've found recently, that, you know, spending that was done without even legal authority for it. So, I mean, this seems to cover everything that we owe now, but, you know, that we're still paying off expenses that were incurred one or more years ago.
So the protesters were chanting, if people can hear them, they were in the background. They were actually chanting fair tax now to repeal the flat income tax and change to a progressive tax. They're also saying they want a fully funded budget. Let's just take the tax piece of this really first quickly here, Brian. Where are we at with personal income taxes? Where are we at with corporate income taxes? Are we expecting the governor to say anything about that?
Well, he's, you know, been very critical of the tax increase that was passed over his veto with bipartisan support last summer. A number of Republicans broke from him after 2 years of sticking with him to help Democrats pass a tax increase and finally have a budget for Illinois. There had been some speculation. Would he call for reducing the tax increase this year? Most people who look at the budget say you just can't possibly afford to do that. But he said he's actually not calling for reducing it now. He says that in the future he is going to put us on a path that involves doing some pension changes. But right now he counts on spending that money.
So we've probably got a minute or two before the governor speaks here, Brian. So we know that taxes are going to be something that the governor is going to probably stay away from, right, because it's an election year.
Well, I think he's going to talk about it and talk about how bad it is for the taxpayers. But, you know, maybe, and this is speculation, I obtained a sort of a PowerPoint slide presentation. I don't have an advanced copy of his speech or anything, but, you know, one expects that he will talk about the negative consequences of the tax increase, but not necessarily call for its immediate repeal.
On the Democratic side, Democrats are saying, where's the revenue? We need more taxes. Am I right? But are they going to say that in an election year?
Yeah, well, there are very few elected Democrats who are going to say we need more taxes in an election year, although most of the major candidates for governor have called for a progressive or graduated income tax where people who make more money would pay a greater share of their income as taxes. But that would require a change in the Illinois Constitution, which would have to go not only through the legislature, but be approved by the voters. So that's years away. So that is not in any sense a short-term solution to Illinois' budget problems.
Governor Rauner is about to enter the chamber. We are awaiting his 2018 governor's budget address. I'm Nyla Boodoo. You're listening to special coverage for Illinois Public Radio. Brian Mackey is here with me as well, a State House reporter. Brian, so you've got a little preview you mentioned. Is there anything else? I know we just have a minute or two left here probably that we can kind of, what are you going to be listening for with the governor?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be listening for the reaction from legislators, really.
Do you mean by applause? You mean physical applause, reaction?
Laughter. Actually, right. At his State of the State speech a couple of weeks ago, he said, I'm going to be presenting a balanced budget.
People
and there
laughed.
Was laughter. And I don't even think it was staged. I think it was because his budget's, last year there was literally a $4.6 billion line that said, working with the General Assembly on grand bargain, which is just pixie dust, basically. And he, of course, worked against the grand bargain because he didn't think the compromise was a good enough deal for what he wanted, the changes he wanted to see towards Illinois' business law and things like that.
So you're going to be looking for reaction from Democratic lawmakers. We're going to be looking to see what is applauded. Those will be for you signals, because just a reminder for everyone, Brian, this is sort of a starting point for negotiations.
Very much. And in fact, the governor has not, frankly, been very relevant in terms of actually shaping the budget. He's been relevant in sort of stopping a budget from happening, but the actual budget that passed last year was done in spite of him, not with his help.
I spoke to a Comptroller Susana Mendoza this morning, and she said that. She said, if the governor isn't going to do his job, I would urge lawmakers, she's a Democrat, of course, I would urge lawmakers to just work around him.
Well, of course, I think he would say he is doing his job, though, which is to be an advocate for people that he says are, have been underrepresented in Springfield, business owners and taxpayers who don't want to pay more money towards state government. But that's certainly the Democratic line, is that he's been sort of an absentee.
Let's go to Governor Rauner.
Attorney General Madigan, Secretary White, Comptroller Mendoza, Treasurer Frerichs, members of the General Assembly, distinguished guests, and members of the media, welcome. To the members of our National Guard, our servicemen and women, our veterans, thank you on behalf of a most grateful state. To our citizens, the taxpayers of Illinois, it is an honor to serve you. Happy Valentine's Day to all. Let's begin today with a moment of silence to honor Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer. He is a true American hero. He was killed in the line of duty yesterday, protecting the people of Chicago and the state of Illinois. Let us also remember the young victims and survivors of the NIU campus shootings 10 years ago today. Please join with me, remember them in our prayers. Thank you. Two weeks ago, we met in this chamber to discuss the state of our state. I said then, and I repeat today, we are in a state of readiness, ready to leverage Illinois' many natural advantages, our wonderful people, our location, our transportation network, our diverse resources, to become the economic powerhouse of the Midwest. To fulfill that mission is to serve the best interests of everyone in our state. If our economy rises, Everyone rises with it. Our businesses grow and create more jobs. Our family incomes rise. Our young have more opportunities to learn and earn. Our services to our citizens expand. Our taxes can go down. Our quality of life will go up. We can make all this happen, but we must abandon Illinois' fiscal status quo and take steps to make tax spenders more accountable to taxpayers. We must enact structural reforms that allow us to be as competitive as we need to be so we can be as compassionate as we want to be. And make no mistake, we are in a competition, and the states around us are winning at our expense. They have out-legislated us, and now they are outgrowing us. Manufacturing jobs, many of which go to union workers, are up 110,000 in Indiana over the last 8 years, while manufacturing jobs in Illinois are up only 8,000 in that same time period. Outrageous. We're twice the size of Indiana. And in just the last year alone, just in the past year, private sector union jobs are up 36,000 in Wisconsin. Think about that, 36,000 increase in union jobs. And over in Michigan, union jobs are up 47,000 in just the past year. In Illinois, in the past year, we've lost 9,000 union jobs. Many factory workers in other states are now out-earning our brothers and sisters here in Illinois. We can't let this happen to our hardworking families. It is time to get back in the race. Low growth and expensive bureaucracy are devastating to our working families. They reduce Illinoisans' net take-home pay. They rob us of our ability to invest in education, human services, public safety, and infrastructure. They constrain our economic growth, our tax base, and our wage rates. Our fiscal year 19 budget sets out to make the structural reforms that will get us moving in the right direction. It reduces government expense, but not customer service. It shifts responsibility for the cost of services to the people who buy those services. And it recognizes that we will never have balanced budgets if government grows faster than our economy. These are the priorities we've set for the next fiscal year and beyond. They put a stop to the unsustainable growth in our pension and health care costs, halt and reverse the advance in taxes, and restore emphasis on investments in education, human services, public safety, and infrastructure. Our reforms must begin with pensions and employee group health expenses. They now consume more than 25 cents of every dollar the state spends. And they grow faster than you can raise taxes and we can grow the economy. In fiscal year 18, we spent more of our budget in these two categories than we spent on K-12 education. The simple truth is this: we have to change the way we manage pension costs and group health expenses. If we don't, our finances will continue to deteriorate, our economy will remain sluggish, and our tax burdens will stay high and keep rising. Our fiscal year 19 budget addresses this problem head on and creates a surplus that we can use to pay down some of our debt. The key reforms have to do with accountability. We need to move pension costs to people who do the buying and make them responsible for the paying too. If we do this realignment, we can eliminate the $2 billion deficit in the budget you passed last summer. We can avoid new taxes. We can fund top priorities, and we can start the long process of paying down our bill backlog with cash instead of credit. But we should also do something that will really make the economy grow faster, that will really make the Amazons and Apples of the world take notice. We should take the next big step and do what taxpayers have urged us to do for more than a decade, and that is enact comprehensive pension reform and give Illinois taxpayers a $1 billion tax cut. They deserve it. The people of Illinois deserve it, and they need it. This is the kind of financial accountability that Illinois taxpayers expect. It is time we lived up to their expectations. When Diana and I moved into the governor's mansion in 2015, we noticed that every light was turned on in the building. I don't know about you, but I was raised that if you left a room on and didn't shut off the lights, if you left a room and you didn't turn them off, you got in trouble. You had to put a nickel in the jar, or maybe worse. This course, when we got there, it led us to ask, what was the utility bill for the mansion? It took us 2 weeks to track down through the bureaucracy who actually got the bill inside the government bureaucracy. And we learned that the utility cost for the Illinois taxpayers for that mansion was $100,000 per year. Hello. Building that nobody was really living in. Outrageous. We immediately changed the energy practices, put in energy conservation policies, and cut the bill substantially. And my point of this story is this. If you separate the payment from accountability, there's no accountability. People don't question the expense, they just pay it. Story illustrates what is wrong with pension and group health expenses. In our system, the state gets pension bills and just pays the tab. Our budget proposal shifts costs closer to home so people can question the expenses and deal with them more directly. Now, under the current system, they have no incentive to manage costs because the state picks them up, no matter what they are. When people are responsible for paying the bill, there will be plenty of incentive to lower the costs. We will ask school districts to begin sharing the cost of their own normal cost pensions. We'll phase in the shift over 4 years in 25% increments per year. And give schools, and this is critically important, give schools and local governments the tools they need to more than offset the costs. That's critical. The tools include increased education funding, the power to dissolve or consolidate units of local government, and more flexibility in contracting, bidding, and sharing services. As a matter of fairness, the Chicago Public Schools will get the same offsets as all other school districts in the state, including its portion of the increase under the new funding formula. But recognizing that CPS got to keep the benefits of its special block grant in the base of our new funding formula, we propose that CPS absorb its normal pension costs as it did before last year. We will ask universities to pay their pension costs, also phased in over 4 years, and to pick up their health care costs with offset tools that include an additional $205 million in appropriations in fiscal year 19. These shifts will save the state $696 million this year. We recommend right-sizing employee health insurance plans so that government compensation is more in line with what taxpayers have who are paying for it. Today, we pay almost 90% of the premiums for government employee health insurance policies that are way more expensive than plans in the private sector. State government needs to do what every employer in Illinois has already done over the last 10 years, get its health care costs under control. Taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for government health insurance policies that are richer than ones they can afford for themselves. It's not fair. If we legislate group health insurance changes the way the Massachusetts legislature has already done, we can save Illinois taxpayers $470 million in general revenue funds this year and $560 million in all funds. We also need to reduce workers' compensation insurance costs. They are the highest in the Midwest, and they're pushing out our manufacturers. Business leaves the state to escape them or won't come to Illinois in order to avoid them. It's one of the reasons we're losing business and population to the states around our borders. If we reduce our rate to just the national average, businesses as well as local governments will benefit from lower costs, and we will create tens of thousands of new jobs over time. Not only would we have faster economic growth that would help keep our budgets balanced, but taxpayers would directly save tens of millions of dollars in lower government costs as well. And one final point. It is time, it is in fact past time, to actually sell the Thompson Center in Chicago. Without any extra fees or charges tacked on. These moves, many of which have been supported by the General Assembly in prior years, can alleviate a $1.3 billion annual burden on our taxpayers and release money that we can then spend on education, public safety, human services, and infrastructure in fiscal year 19. Now, I know this idea that we're putting forth of reforms to stimulate growth, it goes against Illinois' traditional budget approach, the one where you decide what to buy and then buy it, even if it means spending beyond your means. The fiscal year 18 budget, which you enacted last July over my veto, is running a huge deficit right now that proves the point. This unbalanced budget that we're currently working in was built on the back of a $4.5 billion income tax increase, $6 billion in long-term debt, and a still increasing backlog of unpaid bills that's expected to be at $7.7 billion by the end of this fiscal year. The approach we're recommending is decidedly different. We see the budget as an opportunity to set priorities without spending beyond our means. It is a framework designed to spark a constructive dialogue on the steps we need to take to resolve the state's financial issues. Our mission is straightforward. Enact reforms, be accountable, deliver on promises. Our goals align with the needs of our citizens. Provide the best education on earth for our children. Ensure justice and equality for the deserving but disadvantaged. Share compassion for our veterans, the elderly, our most vulnerable. Provide security for our communities and maintain and improve our streets and our bridges. Our guiding principle is this: only spend money we have. And don't increase the tax burden on the people of Illinois. And the bottom line is this: we need reforms. We need to shift accountability so that we can put more resources into education, human services, public safety, and infrastructure. That's where our fiscal year 19 budget is focused. That's the outcome we want to produce. Our administration is an emphatic advocate for education investment. By enacting structural reforms, we will be able to spend a record $8.3 billion on pre-K to 12 education. That includes $350 million of new money distributed through our more equitable new funding formula. Pre-K to 12 funding has risen a cumulative $3.7 billion since I took office. We also will spend $454 million for early childhood education, up 55% since I became governor. This investment is critical to our future. The work world around us evolves as technology advances. The skills needed to succeed in our economy are dramatically different than they were just a decade ago. Our own manufacturing sector is a perfect example. Where once there were get-your-hands-dirty assembly line jobs, workers must now be equipped to use computer-directed equipment, manage software to track inventory, and build intricate, high-tech products. Our obligation to our next generation is to prepare them by the millions to fully participate in the workforce of the future. The bipartisan effort we produced last year to bring equity to our school funding formula was a key step. And the new Invest in Kids program has expanded education choices for tens of thousands of students. It's a great step forward. And our cabinet on children and youth helps children reach their 25th birthdays as engaged, educated, self-sufficient citizens with marketable skills for a meaningful career. Now, we must make higher education a critical priority too. Illinois Public University enrollment declined by more than 50,000 students from 1991 to 2014 as tuition and fees increased. Our budget conflicts in recent years haven't helped that trend. This year, we bring an end to budget reductions for our university and community college systems. We add $100 million in capital funds to meet deferred maintenance needs. We maintain MAP grants at FY18 levels, but we lay the foundation for increased MAP funding in the future. We also recommend a capital grant to the University of Illinois for its Illinois Innovation Network and Discovery Partners Institute. This grant will leverage billions of dollars in private donations to the U of I and spur enterprise formation that will make us the envy of the technology centers on the East Coast and the West Coast. This capital investment could well be the biggest spark ever to ignite our economic growth engine. The Illinois Board of Higher Education is developing a single statewide strategic plan to make academic offerings more attractive to students and drive more efficiency in service offerings. We look forward to the results of their work. Compassion is in the DNA of Illinois. Our budget mirrors this fundamental attribute. With reforms to our pension and group health programs, we can provide resources for veterans, families, children, the elderly, the sick, and the ailing. This week, despite aggressive precautions and new water treatment systems, Legionella bacteria has infected two more patients at the Quincy Veterans Home. Early detection led to successful treatment, but the infections send a clear message. We need to have money, we need to move quickly to make structural changes to the facilities themselves to ensure protection for our veterans. Our Water Management Task Force met yesterday to begin a review of an engineering report on the home's water systems. We've allocated $50 million in capital improvements to be prepared to address their recommendations for Legionella control. To further help our veterans, we need to move forward as well and complete the long-delayed construction of a new 200-bed veterans home in Chicago. We expect to spend $1 billion on child care assistance for families with incomes up to 185% of the federal poverty level. We will also increase funds for early intervention programs and developmental disabilities services. Our budget addresses a necessary commitment to our elder population. We maintain funding levels for programs that serve 62,000 community care program clients and provide adult protection and in-home services. We're shifting clients to managed care organizations administered by Healthcare and Family Services, with no change in services, but big savings in cost. When it comes to children and youth, we have improved a fragmented system that wasted money and too often failed to help young people become successful adults. In the Department of Children and Family Services, the fiscal year 19 budget adds staff for intact family services to help deal with cases that present the highest risks for young children. DCFS has redesigned the adoption subsidy process. There was a 16% increase in adoptions and a 31% increase in guardianships in fiscal year 2017. That means nearly 2,200 children left state care and found homes last year. We've had an unacceptably high number of youth confined to psychiatric hospitals, to juvenile detention, to emergency shelters, and we're working hard to lower those populations and help those young people get better services. The principles of reform and accountability guide our approach to Medicaid as well. We've made significant structural changes in this program, most notably a more thoughtful shift to managed care, a move that will save taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars in the years ahead and help us hold providers more accountable for the quality of the care they deliver. Medicaid enrollment has slowed in recent years, but it still serves nearly one quarter of our population, about 3.1 million people. That number will stay essentially flat in fiscal year 19, and we have budgeted $14.2 billion to provide care for eligible patients. This takes into account more than $450 million that our task force has saved so far through fraud detection and prevention. We have also developed a comprehensive strategy to address behavioral health. It transforms payment and delivery models, increases managed care, enhances workforce capacity, and establishes greater accountability. We're working closely with the federal government to get approval of a Section 1115 waiver that will let us more efficiently and effectively treat our 800,000 Medicaid enrollees who suffer with mental health and behavioral health problems. Criminal justice reform is a priority for our administration. Structural reforms mean we can devote more resources to the people and programs that protect us from those who would do us harm. Two more Illinois State Police cadet classes will graduate this year, and the budget anticipates another class in fiscal year 19. That means up to 300 more state troopers on the force, working to keep people safe. Our budget addresses the opioid epidemic, fully funding programs that enhance enforcement and addiction recovery. Some 28,000 offenders are released into our communities every year, but nearly half return to prison within 3 years. These rates of recidivism are just too high. Jobs are a key antidote to the challenge. So we've allocated $26.4 million for the operation of Life Skills Job Training Reentry Centers in Kewanee and Murfreesboro to help people get back to work instead of going back to prison. We will spend $36.4 million for mental health facilities at Joliet and Elgin, which will supplement the three residential treatment units at Pontiac, Logan, and Dixon. The fiscal year 19 budget provides $10.2 million for Adult Redeploy Illinois to promote community-based supervision. There is also $110 million in federal funds allocated to reduce crime and help victims get the services they need. For the fourth year in a row, we will deliver more capital for infrastructure projects. Our budget provides $2.2 billion in pay-as-you-go funds for the Department of Transportation's annual road program. Additionally, we will provide $511 million in new capital funds for other IDOT needs in fiscal year 19. That brings total new transportation infrastructure spending by our administration since 2016 to nearly $10 billion. We should finalize private investment in infrastructure improvements, like the I-55 Managed Lane Project, where private investors are willing to invest hundreds of millions of dollars to build and manage new and improved highways. Our administration has been actively engaged in conversations over the last year with the White House and with the U.S. Department of Transportation about an infrastructure program. As the plan announced this week works its way through Congress, we will work closely with our Illinois congressional delegation to maximize the return on Illinois' investments in our infrastructure. All along, we've been clear about the necessity to meet critical public needs with the resources available to us. The surest way to do that is to enact reforms that bend the cost curve of government down and stimulate our economy to bring new jobs to Illinois. The key to balanced budgets is to have our economy grow faster than our government spending. I vetoed the fiscal year 18 budget because it was unbalanced, because it did not provide reforms needed to end deficits, to achieve balanced budgets, and sustain economic growth. Unfortunately, I was right in that veto. We were forced to spend more than $1 billion to meet obligations set into law prior, but were under-appropriated in the budget that was passed. Now, need to pass a supplemental spending bill to cover these costs. This sort of budget shortfall underscores the urgency of our circumstances. We simply have to slow the growth of government spending and grow our economy faster. Higher tax rates can never fix this structural necessity. Our fiscal year 19 proposal asks you to engage with us to make sensible, long overdue reforms, to shift control to the people who pay the bills. Move pension and healthcare costs where they belong. Most importantly, give local governments the tools to cut costs. Reduce workers' comp rates. Sell the Thompson Center. These savings will produce a surplus to put against our bill backlog. Better yet, they will energize our economy. If you'll work with me to take the next logical step and pass true pension reform, we will be able to enact a nearly $1 billion tax cut and start rolling back the income tax rate. And let's face it, middle-class wage earners and young mobile workers, for them, the pension crisis is not about the politics that's played out here in Springfield. It's about how much money we're taking out of their pockets. The people of Illinois are taxed out. A $1 billion income tax cut should be our number one objective by the end of this session. Together, let's learn from our past. Let's talk honestly about the future and move ahead and make Illinoisans the big winners. Our budget proposal is a framework, balances the interests of those who spend our taxes with those who pay the taxes. It balances the need for reform with the time we need to implement it. And it produces the tools we need to reduce the associated costs. We're ready to collaborate on reforms that benefit the taxpayers of Illinois. Our ideas are here for you to consider. We share a sense of urgency with you and every citizen of our state. We welcome a call to the table for serious conversations together about how to proceed. Our intent in this week of Lincoln's birthday is to heed his admonition. The leading rule is diligence. Leave nothing for tomorrow which can be done today. This is the essence of Illinois' work ethic, the essence of our value system. Let's do this budget. Let's fix our system. Let's give fiscal integrity to our people. Let's roll back the tax hike and give power and prosperity back to the people of Illinois. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless our veterans. God bless the people of Illinois. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Yeah,
you're hard to hear. You're hard to hear.